We're pleased to present for you the weekly sermon broadcast from the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa, where God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Our first scripture reading for this morning comes to us as the 52nd Psalm. I share it with you this morning from the Good News Bible. The Good News Bible titles the Psalms and other portions of Scripture throughout the various books. This title of this Psalm is God's Judgment and Grace. Hear the words of the psalmist. Why do you boast, great one, of your evil? God's faithfulness is eternal. You make plans to ruin others. Your tongue is like a sharp razor. You are always inventing lies. You love evil more than good and falsehood more than truth. You love to hurt people with your words, you liar. Go, so God will ruin you forever. God will take hold of you and snatch you from your home. God will remove you from the world of the living. Righteous people will see this and be afraid. But then they will laugh at you and say, look, here is someone who did not depend on God for safety, but trusted instead in great wealth, and looked for security in being wicked. But I am like an olive tree growing in the house of God. I trust in his constant love forever and ever. I will always thank you, God, for what you have done. In the presence of your people, I will proclaim that you are good. Now, will those that are able please stand as we affirm our faith together. We believe in truth as a living reality, not captured in theory or a creed, but revealed to those who love the truth of Jesus, the truth of Spirit, the truth of God. Because we believe, we trust, not blindly, but open-eyed, and behold as a child climbing into a mother's lap, the truth of Jesus, the truth of Spirit, the truth of God. Because we serve, not as a slave that serves a tyrant, but like farmers reaping a harvest, the truth of Jesus, the Spirit of truth, the truth of God. Our focus scripture for the day once again comes from the Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 38 through 42. And we pick up the story at this point as they continue their travels. Pay close attention to the words of this portion of Luke's Gospel. While they were on their way, Jesus came to a village where a woman named Martha made him welcome in her home. She had a sister, Mary, who seated herself at Jesus' feet and stayed there listening to his words. Now, Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and said, Jesus, tell her to come and lend a hand. But he answered, Martha, Martha, you are fretting and fussing about so many things, but one thing is necessary. The part that Mary has chosen is best, and it will not be taken away from her. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. You know, sometimes I wonder about the Bible. Now, don't take that wrong. It's a product of my seminary training. At Eden Seminary, they taught us, if we weren't to that point already, to think critically about Scripture. Not to be critical of it, but to think critically about it. And it seems to me that the times that we live in, there's a lack of critical thinking throughout our culture, throughout the world. But I wonder about some of the stories in the Bible. I wonder, I think about them, and I wonder how, what are the details? Because you don't get a lot of details in this story, do we? Jesus is at the home of Mary and Martha. He's there as a guest, and Mary's listening to Jesus. We don't know what Jesus is saying. Martha is in the kitchen, being a good host, by the way. And this piece of Scripture is a short piece of Scripture. It's a simple point to this story. Jesus makes the point to Martha. Mary's chosen the good part. Chosen to sit and listen to me. It puts the dynamic as Jesus scolding Martha and implicitly praising Mary. But I still wonder. You could think about this story several different ways, in the details of the dynamics in it. What was Jesus' tone of voice? You ever think about stories in the Bible that way? We assume that Jesus, nice and calm, and says, "Mary, Mary." But was it? What was his body language like? Mary comes to complain. Jesus could have been going, "Mary, Mary, when are you going to get it?" Or, "Mary, Mary, Mary, calm down," because Mary's gone off, right? She's had enough. Well, Martha, I'm sorry, not Mary, Martha. What was Jesus saying? Was he saying something profound in teaching? Was he telling a joke? I wonder. Maybe it's sacrilegious for some, but I love thinking about Bible stories that way. Most Bible stories have their main point, right? But I also know that Bible stories are layered. There's layers of things. There's implicit lessons. Lessons that are buried in there. Things for us to think about that go beyond and run beneath the main point of any Bible story. So is there another message? Something to ponder in this particular story? And I think there is. Did you catch the part? The word. The one word. In the common, or the New English Bible, it's different in some translations, but I like what the New English Bible does. Jesus says, it points out that Martha is distracted. Now, I don't want to be too hard on Martha, because the big deal, a big thing in biblical times in that culture was being hospitable, offering hospitality to your guests. So, Martha's distracted by that. She's doing what she's supposed to do. "Come in, Jesus, have a seat. Are you comfortable? Can I get you something to drink? Something to eat?" She's distracted by doing exactly what she's supposed to be doing in that culture. And Martha's not the only one distracted. Mary is distracted by Jesus. She should have been in the kitchen helping her sister. Martha knows that. She pointed that out. And I can't help but wonder if Jesus wasn't a bit distracted too. Whatever Jesus is saying, whatever he's doing, he's trying to make an important point, or whatever he's talking about, I can imagine him sitting there, and here's Martha in the kitchen over here, banging pots and pans, and he's trying to talk, and there's this racket coming from the kitchen, and he's got to stop and stick several times and collect himself to keep going. We all get distracted, don't we? Each and every day. Distractions are part of life. Things that draw our focus away from what we're supposedly supposed to be focusing on. An example that came to mind, and I think when our kids were little, you got television on, and they're running around playing, not paying any attention, and the commercial comes on. And they stop, and they watch that. That's just one. Every day, multiple times, we get distracted. There was a little girl at the wedding last night, a one-year-old girl sitting with her mother, and she was not a happy camper. But somebody gave her a balloon, and that's all it took to distract her from whatever she was upset about. Now, before we go any further, we know this, that distractions aren't always a bad thing. We seem to put that's our default setting. But think about this. When we are distracted from our everyday things, the things that we're focused on, by some injustice that we see in the world, by some disaster, by somebody being oppressed, by anything that is unjust, those things should distract us from whatever else we're focusing on. And name them for what they are. And do what we can to alleviate them. In ways big and small. Distractions aren't necessarily happenstance. Some are created. Some are intentional to move our focus away from something to someone else. We got people that do that in the world, don't we? But we have a choice. A choice on what we put our attention towards that draws our attention, that distracts us from the everyday mundane things in life and those things we have to do. But a choice like Jesus explained to Martha. One thing's necessary. It's best. Pay attention to what I say, what I do, and do likewise. Let that be your distraction, first and foremost among all the others. Yes, the world is full of distractions. But may we choose what is necessary, what is best. Shall we be tuned into the distractions that matter, that call for our attention, the same ones that Jesus pointed out, so that we might be able to respond to those things. And the one that demands our attention, that distracts us first and foremost. Amen.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.